All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. The book of Titus, chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Titus 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I ain't preaching on that this morning. Boy, that's a good text. Good verse there. But here's my key verse, verse number 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this thought: the preeminence of preaching.
Amen.
The preeminence of preaching. You'll know exactly what I'm trying to get across by the time we finish here this morning. Brother Steve Dowdy, would you pray for the message? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Help us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul writes this short epistle to Titus, a pastor who he has left on the island of Crete to take care of some things the Bible says are wanting, lacking among the cities where all the saints of God on Crete are abiding. When you get to verse number 3, Paul tells Titus that God's word is manifested through preaching. That's how God's word is manifested. He goes on and tells Titus, as we just read there, that the preaching of the word was committed to him. You see, God calls and ordains men to preach his word, that it might be made manifest to the lost and to the saved. I believe with all my heart that God called me to preach. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't believe he called me to preach. I wouldn't have any business up here if he didn't call me to preach. And because I believe he's called me to preach, brother, when I get behind this pulpit, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach. Now, I want to say this. This message this morning is more of a declaration than anything. This message is hopefully to make it clear to all who attend Pleasant Grove Baptist Church as to what our mission, our main goal is, as to what our church has to offer. Those questions come up all the time. Pastor, what does this church have to offer? What kind of clubs do you have? What do you have to offer my children, Pastor? What do you have for my teenager, Pastor? If we move our membership to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, what should we expect? What do you have to offer? Some people are even concerned about the vision of the church, or what is emphasized in this church or in the worship services? Well, I can answer all those questions with one word: preaching. Preaching. Preaching the word. Listen, bless God, that's what your teenagers need. That's what your children need. People come up with, well, what do you have for the teenagers? What do you have for the young people? We need something for the children. Yes, you do! It's called good old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled fire down. Tell it like it is, preaching. They don't need more clubs and activities. They need a man of God to get up there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and part their hair with the Word of God. I will make no bones about it. That is going to be the preeminence and the worship service and the ministry and the focus and the vision of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And let every other outfit up down this road and in this community do what they want to. But the preeminence in here is going to be on preaching the Word of God. Now, preaching is becoming more and more absent from our churches. Now the popular speakers and pastors of today are nothing more than glorified motivational speakers. You can do it. You can do it. I can blink. I can smile. They're not preaching. Not preaching a bit. Listen, we need preachers, not speakers. We need preachers, not psychologists. The idea today is put on your little golf shirt and sit on a stool and give some soft motivational or psychological talk. I'm getting sick and tired of that mess. Listen, everybody wants to put on that little thing on their ear and microphone in their around their mouth so they'll look important. Get rid of the pulpit and put a stool out there and just sit down and say, now we're going to open up the Word of God and teach. And the preacher, you know, he looks like the rest of the people out there, and they all dress like they're going to go play 9 or 18 out there on the golf course. Let me tell you something. Everybody look up here at me. You know that I don't care what you wear to this church. You know that I ain't no big dress up, fancy type person. You see me, bless the Lord. I wear a tie only because it comes with a job. I don't like ties. I don't like suits. But I'm going to tell you what's happening, what these modern day preachers are doing. The dressing down is just symbolic of what's going on from behind this pulpit. Yeah. Let's make it just as casual as we can. Let's make it just as worldly and acceptance as we can so everybody will feel good. No, hey, there still ain't nothing wrong with a preacher getting up in this pulpit with a coat and a tie on and a shirt on and try to comb his hair best he can unless you got hair like mine. You just do the best you can and preach that Bible. Don't try to turn the mechanics of the thing like the world. Do it the old time way. That's what I believe. Many churches have removed the pulpit and have put more emphasis on PowerPoint than on the power of God. Bless God, you don't need no little bitty laser stricken in around here. I'm putting on a board. Everybody put your words to the songbook up there so everybody can stand. Listen. These songs in this song book have much more doctrine and truth to them than this 7-Eleven song. Just stand up there swaying back and forth for 10 minutes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What's it to you? I mean, come on. Just on and on and on. We're not going that route here. We're not going that route here. I'm going to make it very clear today before this over which way we're going. Around here, the preeminence, the top priority and ministry of this church is going to be preaching the gospel and the truth of the faith found only in a King James Bible. Now, in case you're wondering what I'm talking about with preaching, here's some good definitions of preaching. I didn't make these up. Come out of the dictionary. It's not even necessarily by somebody that's even cares about preaching, may not even be saved. Preaching. Proclamation of scripture or biblical truth through man to men. To urge acceptance or abandonment of an idea or course of action. There's an urgency behind preaching. And you're trying to get a fellow to do something or to not do something. You're trying to get a fellow to make a decision. That's what preaching is. Notice this other right here. To advocate earnestly. There's earnestness behind preaching. Listen, folks, preaching is different than teaching. Preaching, everybody listen up here to me. Preaching has a thrust. Preaching just isn't instructional. Preaching isn't used just to impart knowledge, but it's to stir you up. It should cause you to do something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody wants to focus on the teaching ministry and the teaching. Everybody wants, listen, if God called you to pastor, He called you to teach. We have Sunday school for teaching. I teach through books of the Bible on Sunday night. On Wednesday night, we've been teaching through Luke for 2 years now. We're taking it verse by verse and expounding on it. There, listen, you're supposed to teach. Teaching is important. But what everybody wants to do now, though, is throw preaching out of the church. And I'm telling you, preaching will do something for you. Teaching won't do. And all you, I know we got several people in here that you say you're called to preach. Every one of you look up here at me. If you're really called to preach, then you need to preach. Do you see the definition of preaching? It's to stir up. It's to be earnest. It's to try to get somebody to reach a point. Don't get up here behind this pulpit, bless God, and be as dry as cracker juice when you preach. You ain't preaching. You don't have to preach like me. You don't have to do it like me. You don't have to be nothing like me. You'd probably be better off if you weren't like me. But you better get your idea that when you're up here and I ask you to get up here behind here to preach, I want you to preach, bless God. And if you can't preach, don't put your name in a hat no more. I'm just telling it like it is. Up here, I don't want nobody up here going 25 and 30 and 45 and 50 minutes. You can hear the crickets chirping outside. Preaching is to preach with some enthusiasm to try to stir somebody up to make a decision for Christ. Now, if you want to teach, say you're going to get up here and teach. Help yourself. We need all the teaching we can get. But don't say you're a preacher if 15 minutes into your sermon, everybody's going to sleep, and you think it's because they're ungodly. No, it's because you're bored. Amen! Because you're real bored. That's why they're going to sleep. And ain't their ungodliness, it's your lack of enthusiasm. Oh boy, here we go. Listen, preaching ought to cause you to do something. It ought to cause you to do something. Preaching is not focused on the messenger or the method, but it's focused on the man and the message. I get tired of these people following these preachers around. Fellow leave this church, go this church, go that church, and a bunch just follow them around. Don't focus on somebody's personality. Well, I like this preacher, and I like the way he does this, and I like the way, and boy, he just speaks so good, and I just, you know, that's a bunch of mess. That's wrong. Preaching's not about your method of preaching. Some people can, have different preaching styles, but preaching ought to always be about the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, and about the message. Listen, according to 1 Corinthians 2:4, preaching is not to be done with enticing words or men's wisdom. You're not to try to use your intellect to convince somebody of anything. The Holy Ghost does that. You're not supposed to use men's wisdom. You're not, when you're preaching, you're not supposed to use enticing words. You don't have to worry about that around here, do you? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You may not agree with everything I say. You may get mad about some things I say. You may huff and puff and blow up like a bullfrog this morning and leave out of here mad. But I guarantee you one thing. You'll understand exactly what I said. You may not agree with it, but you won't have to go out like this. What was he talking about? You know what I was talking about. I'll put it right down there for you real plain and straight, brother, where you'll have to receive it or reject it. Cop-picking preachers get up there trying to impress everybody. Quoting these big old Greek words and Hebrew words. They don't even know what it means themselves. Going on and on and on. People are sitting in that mess for 30 or 35 minutes. It's just as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. It's dry as cracker juice. Amen. Who wants to sit through that slop? Yeah. Now listen, when you look at the life of Jesus, He preaches just about as much as He taught. I know you see Him there and it talks about Jesus teaching. But I run several references in preparing this sermon on preaching. There's several times it didn't say that Jesus taught or was teaching. It said He preached. Jesus preached. And there's a difference, a distinction between preaching and teaching. And you know why? People will accept teaching. People love teaching nowadays. It's that preaching they don't want. I don't want nobody up there getting red in the face and using incorrect grammar and pointing his old chubby finger at me. And spitting about 3 rows back and challenging me. Bless the Lord, you in the wrong church, my friend. That's going to be preaching. Listen, I'm going to do my best. This church pays me a good salary. This church has been good to me. This church gives me plenty of time. I'm going to be loaded for bear every time I get up in this pulpit with God's help. I mean Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night. It don't make no difference to me, brother. I'm coming in here to preach and to teach the Word of God. Not to put everybody to sleep. Although some of you do sleep when I'm preaching, I've never been able to understand that. Some of you could sleep with a sawmill going. Jesus preached as much as he taught. Listen, Paul preached and promoted preaching, even though he did much teaching. You and I need preaching. We need preaching. Your marriage needs preaching. Your children need preaching. This church needs preaching. Our country needs preaching. This world has to have preaching. I'm going to say a few things this morning about preaching, then we'll go to the house. Number one. Yeah, amen. Don't tempt me. I'm already stirred up. Number one, preaching pleases God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what the Bible said. The world says preaching is foolish. You never seen anything in your life so foolish. A man getting up and getting stirred up and flailing his arms around and hair going everywhere and getting sweaty and hot. And then people giving up their Sunday off to come listen to that. You're like, man, you could be on the lake. You could be hunting. You could be fishing. The ball game's coming on. Talladega's going to start. I mean, you know, you want to be there forever 3.5 hours of this. You could be doing anything in the world, but here I am. I could have slept late this morning. Here I am on a Sunday morning. Amen. Listen to this wild, crazy, fat preacher. What in the world am I doing here? This is foolish. That's exactly right.
Come on, brother.
To the carnal person.
Yeah.
To the lost man. To the spiritual man, blessed the Lord. You know you're doing the right thing. You know you're exactly where you're supposed to be this morning. You know this is exactly what you need and exactly what you need to hear. Preaching pleases God. It pleases God when we do it. You know what I don't think pleases God? Somebody up there just talking and rambling and just giving out a bunch of facts and knowledge and instruction. Hey, that's good. That's wonderful. But the difference between preaching and teaching is I'm trying to instruct you when I'm teaching. I'm trying to give you some facts. I'm trying to give you some knowledge from the Bible. I'm trying to give you some things that God wants you to know to apply to your life. Yes, that's very important. But when I'm preaching, I'm trying to get a reaction out of you. People say sometimes, Brother Dennis, why do you say the things you say? Didn't you know you made so-and-so mad? Didn't you know you offended so-and-so? Didn't you know you hurt somebody's feelings? Listen, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't like to make people mad. I'm not out here to make you my enemy. Man, you folks, you say you love me. I believe you do. You folks have been good to me. But I'm the Christian version of the shock jocks. You know, these fellas that get on the radio and they say these crazy things, and they, some of it's perverted and nasty or whatever, but they say it to get everybody to go, oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh, my goodness. And everybody's buzzing and talking about it. That's my preaching style. You folks have been lulled to sleep. You go through the week and you're in the world and you're around the world, around the television, around the computer, and they're slowly trying to brainwash you. And you know what you do when you get here on Sunday morning? I want to say some shocking things to get you to, what did he just say? I want you to pay attention. Your ears perk up. Hey, I don't care if it makes you a little mad or offended or if you blow up like a bullfrog. At least I got your attention. I want to pack a hard punch. I'm a shotgun preacher. I want to throw a big, wide, hard pattern at you. And when you walk out of here, scratch your head going, I ain't never thought of it like that before. That's what we need. We need some preachers in the pulpit that'll shake the people and wake them up with the preaching of the Word of God. Number two. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. One person here agrees with that. Thank you. Number two. Preaching is a priority. It's a priority. It's not just pleasing to God. It ought to be a priority. We've made it a priority here. Going to. Romans 10:14. Question is asked. How shall they hear without a preacher? You gotta have a preacher. Listen. Preaching does something for you that just teaching, and listen to me now, because I want you to be careful before you jump on me. Let me finish my statement. Just you reading your Bible on your own won't even do. That's why when Philip goes and talks to the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, how can I understand unless somebody explain it to me? I'm not trying to put preachers in the position of the Pope. You have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost can explain something to you. If you don't have nothing but that King James Bible, that's all you need to get saved and all you need to live your life. I'm not promoting preachers above putting them on a different class or something, like trying to puff them up, the man of God, bow down, lick my feet, and all that kind. I'm not doing that. But there's something to it that God puts into a man that he calls and ordains to give you that you're not going to get on your own if you're not setting up under a God-called, Spirit-filled preacher Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's necessary. It's a priority. Listen, you flipping through there reading that, you're going to read the stuff you want to read. Stuff's going to pop out you want to pop out. When that preacher gets up there and he prays, how many of you have been here before? I almost see a lot of hands. You thought, somebody's told that preacher about me. I don't know. He says he don't get on Facebook, but he did. Somebody told him. Have you ever thought, man, that Brother Dennis is reading my mail this morning? You thought that? Let me tell you something. Brother Dennis is too stupid to read your mail. It's the Spirit of God. And listen, preaching is a priority, because when you come to church and avail yourself to preaching, you're going to get something. You're going to get a special something you need. You cannot get without being it. Listen, that's why all this home church junk is a bunch of mess. These people dropping out of local church, they won't submit themselves to a pastor. They won't submit themselves to in a church. The daddy brings the family home. He ain't no more called to preach than he is to lead. He couldn't lead a goat farm, much less preach the word of God. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he knows more than everybody. They say, we have home church. I bet you do. I bet you get up every Sunday morning and put your suit on. Everybody sit around there. He ain't going to preach to them. He ain't going to do anything to them. He might just go over the few verses he thinks important. I tell you what that's doing. We've created a generation of people that, listen to me. There are some sins in your life you are not going to get out. You're not even going to try to get them out unless a man of God, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, gets up there and confronts you with it. You need a local church. You need to be held accountable. You're not to be drifting back and forth. You need good, hard preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Amen. And that's what you're going to get here. It's a priority. Unless you're a member, a faithful member, mind you, of a local church, where the preacher preaches that Bible Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you will never be what God wants you to be. Amen. You can't. It's impossible. Preaching is persuasive, number three. It's persuasive. Notice what Paul says in Acts 14:15, sirs, why do you these things? He said, we also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. It has to be persuasive. You're persuading people to do something. Listen, preaching is to persuade you to stop or to start doing something. So many people feel uncomfortable in preaching. You folks have been in it long enough now that you're used to it. How many of you that were around in the 40s and the 50s and 60s remember when many Baptist preachers preached like I do? You remember that? How many of you grew up in the holiness? Boy, they just rip you. They didn't care what you thought. They preached to you, wouldn't they? All right? Let me tell you what's happened. What's happened is, well, let's just say this. How many of you have invited a guest or had guests come in And they come here because they thought something was happening. And I get about 10 minutes in that thing, and you're doing this, you're going, you know they ain't Jehovah, Brother Dennis. You know what I'm talking about. You know why? Because they had, where they've been going to church and what they've been doing is so absent from that now. They don't get that. They don't hear that. So when they come in here, if what would be a, listen to me now, what would be a normal preaching service back in the 30s and 40s, now is some kind of, I'm just some kind of crazy Fruit Loop. The problem is, people don't get preaching. And you ought to be, listen, we need to preach, we need to be persuading people about heaven. We need to be persuading people about hell. We need to be preach about the blood of Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. We need to preach on the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to preach to the sins of the heart. I mean, you need a preacher to get up here and preach about jealousy. Preach about bitterness. Preach about covetousness. Preach about unforgiveness. He still ought to ring your bell about adultery. He still ought to get up there every Sunday and tell you fornication is wicked as hell. He ought to preach against drunkenness. He ought to preach against the sodomites. Don't care what the government in the world says about it. It's still a sin to be a sodomite. He ought to preach against lying. He ought to preach about praying. He ought to preach about church attendance. He ought to preach about giving. He ought to preach about witnessing and winning souls. And if he don't do that, I don't know what he is, brother, but he ain't no preacher. Amen. He ain't a preacher. I've got one final point. Preaching is the prescription or the power in these last days. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy 3, just a few pages over from where we started this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, the young preacher, and he begins chapter 3 by describing to him how people are going to be in the last days. When you read that list there through verses 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, and going down through 7, you know, brother, that's exactly how people are nowadays. And in light of that, as he's telling them about how people are going to be in the last days, he goes right in where chapter 4 starts, and he gives this preacher some instructions. He gives this young preacher some instructions in light of the fact that, hey, man, the last days, it's going to be perilous times. People are going to, they're going to love their own selves more than they do God. They're going to be covetous people and proud and blaspheming people, unthankful people and unholy people. So this is what you need to do, young Timothy. This is what you need to do in the light of that. Just stop preaching and just say, why can't we all get along? Is that what he told him? Say, hey man, let's just get a campfire outside and everybody stand around and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Is that what he said? Well, let's just read what he said. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What did he charge Timothy to do? Preach the word. He said as the world gets worse and the world gets more devilish and the world gets more ungodly and the world gets more unholy and the world gets more anti-God, you just step it up and keep preaching harder than you've ever preached. Amen. There's a song that says, if we ever needed the Lord before. What, church? We sure do need Him now. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Hey, I've changed that song something. We need the Lord. I'm talking about in the church. If we ever needed preaching the Word before, we sure do need it now. Because brethren ain't going on many places. We need to be preaching the Bible. Some of y'all didn't like my singing. Sorry. You ought to preach the Word. He tells Timothy, he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort them. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more we ought to preach. And why should we preach? Because notice what he says down there in verse number 3. For the time will come, brother, it's here. It's here! The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The closer and the closer and the closer we're getting to the return of Christ, the more people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear what satisfies their flesh. Now, in conclusion, tell me what I want you to do in conclusion today. How many of you got the bulletin this morning? See that? Got that bulletin? Turn on the back of your bulletin. That's our theme verse. You know what the theme verse for this church is? Is that verse right there? You have it on your bulletin every Sunday morning. It's the very, now we change the verses for the verse of the week, but the verse of our life in this church is Acts 28:31. Some of you've got this bulletin over and over. Maybe you've never read that verse. That verse is what this church is about. So you say, does this church have a mission statement? Does this church have a goal? What is the purpose of this church here? What are we going to do? Well, why don't you turn your bulletin over and you can find out this morning. I'm being serious. And what it happens to be the first word in that verse there this morning? Anybody know what the first word is? Preaching. You know what that is? That's when the early church is getting started. That verse there, Acts 28:31, that's the very last verse in the book of Acts. That's how the book of Acts ends. That verse. Going into the church age. Go full blast. Pauline epistles coming. That's how it ends. It says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, not in the man, but in the message, no man forbidding him. It is the theme of our church, preaching the kingdom of God. It supersedes everything else. Some people are going to come here because the preeminence is on the preaching. Most people won't. They won't come, and when they do visit, they won't stay because the preeminence is on the preaching. They will go to a church that emphasizes singing and youth retreats and social events and modern positive thinkers posing as preachers. Let me tell you something. Listen, we have youth retreats here. We have cantatas here. We have events for the youth here. We have singing here. But there's something wrong when all that stuff supersedes preaching. There's something wrong when they'll have a singing like somebody told me about. Bless God, they'll sing for 2 or 3 hours. And if I preach 12:05, they get mad. And run all over these places, these singings, and get involved in these singings, and won't come to church every Sunday. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. The emphasis is not on parties and fun and singing and testifying. The emphasis is on preaching this word. That's what you need. You need this book preached to you every Sunday. We're going to stay with the book here. That's what you got. That's what it's about. That's what I'm going to do. And one thing about it is it's not an ever-changing thing. When you go out and invite people and they say, what does your church have to offer? You don't have to scratch your head or look in your notes and try to find out. Just say, well, we offer preaching. Yeah, but I'm talking about the kids. Yeah, we offer preaching. Yeah, but I'm talking about teenagers preaching. Yeah, but I'm talking about what about the singles preaching? Yeah, but what about the elderly preaching? Yeah, but what about the middle age? What about the college and career? Preaching, 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 preaching. And more preaching. That's what we offer here. We're going to preach the book, and the preeminence is going to be preaching about the preeminent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, eye closed.